Well, here is how Old Testament scholar Gordon Wenham summarizes the importance of the events told about in our Numbers chapters for today, chapters 13 and 14. He says this: arriving at Kadesh Barnea, the Israelites had reached the southern border of Canaan as defined in Numbers 34:4. And if you look there, it kind of talks about geography. They will very shortly enter the promised land. At God's command, a man from each tribe is sent out to spy out the land. They return with a glowing account of its wealth and fertility, but claim it will be impossible to conquer. This, of course, is a direct contradiction of the age-old promise to Abraham that his descendants would inherit the land, and a denial of the whole purpose of the Exodus from Egypt. Indeed, they say, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. As we've mentioned before, as we've been working our way through this book of Numbers, the desert is a place that helps to bring things into focus. In the desert, it seems to me, and we can speak literally and we can speak figuratively here, desert circumstances in our lives, which all of us have faced, will face at one time or another. The desert asks basic questions and demands deep answers. And in our story today, we come to a key moment in the Numbers narrative, really in the history of Israel. It's a turning point. There are crucial questions that are asked of God's people. And despite the urgings of Caleb and Joshua and Moses, the people got the wrong answers. And it cost them dearly. 40 more years of wilderness wandering. Most of this older generation from Egypt would die before they got to the land of milk and honey. So today, instead of a standard sermon, we're going to take a quiz. The Promised Land Spy Quiz. You can see it printed in your bulletin. These are deep questions, and these are vital answers still today. We'll begin by reading from the text, Numbers 13 and 14, and let me just set the stage. Moses, according to God's directions, had chosen spies, one from each of the 12 Israelite tribes. Spies that were to go and spy out the land promised to their ancestors that they were about to enter. The 12 spies spent 40 days checking things out, and then they returned to the people camped at Kadesh on the southern outskirts of Canaan. Hear the word of God. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. Continuing in 13:27, they gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt, or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire assembly, Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us to understand these things and to know how they apply to us here today. Lord, as we talk about things that are light and things that are heavy, I pray that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, illuminate your truth for us today and give us courage to walk with you through every challenge and every adventure that you have for us in this life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, you see your quiz there. Directions are simple. Match the reality on the left with the description on the right. So each of those A, B, C, D, you put next to the 1, 2, 3, 4. That's how you do it. And you can do your own quiz if you'd like right now. But before you do that, let's talk about the quiz answers from the Israelites' point of view some 3,500 years ago. Their answers pretty clearly would be along 1, 2, 3, 4, A, B, C, D. Just match right straight across is probably clearly how they would answer this quiz. A, B, C, D, and this is the epic fail. Heaviest? Well, that would be us. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? 14:3. You know, if there's a chance that God will let us die, what good is God to us? Doesn't he exist for our benefit? Heavier? Our challenges. The huge people in this land that devours, standing in our way. Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. It's the fear factor. It's huge. It's hard to see the rewards awaiting us in the land and the demonstrated faithfulness of our God who is with us when all we can see are the terrifying obstacles before us. Heavy? Yeah. The land looks good. Nice fruit. Everything we were told it would be. But what good will it be to us when we are all dead on the battlefields of Canaan? We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. That's the unanimous testimony of the spies after they come back out of the land. They've even got evidence. And it's hard evidence for everyone to see. Look at this fruit. And haven't the people already experienced God's goodness and power for them in getting them out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and guided and fed miraculously in the desert? But none of this is any match for the power of their human imaginations visualizing impossible foes and impending defeat. Light? God. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Yahweh God's plan for us? Not so important. Not worth the risk. His faithfulness? Well, yeah, Yahweh has done some amazing things for us so far, but how do we know he hasn't brought us out here so those giants can kill us? His power? His glory? Well, none of that is in our control. How do we know it doesn't all disappear once we're in this new land with its new peoples and new gods? Egypt may not have been the best, but at least there we had a sure thing, didn't we? Let's get some new leaders and go back. They'll take us back. Pharaoh needs our backs for his building projects. When we grade the quiz as taken by God's people 3,500 years ago, we see the basic problems that they had with this quiz, essentially mistaking the heavier for the merely heavy. Their big problem was a faulty memory. Heavy versus heavier. What have you folks experienced in the past? Remember, these are folks who've seen amazing miracles, plagues, food dropping out of the sky, a pillar of fire and a cloud supernaturally guiding them. Their bigger problem is a faulty perspective. Heavy versus heavier. What do you people see today? Cloud, pillar. But their biggest problem is faulty faith. Light versus heavy, heaviest. What is the name of your God, folks? Faithful Yahweh, or blind chance, or fearful me? Is God God, or are you, people, God? Do you live to serve him, or does he live to serve you? Wrong God? That's idolatry. Many would say that's the besetting sin of the human race. Worshipping something, serving something as God that is not. Now let's take a look at the quiz answers from the point of view of the two faithful spies, Caleb and Joshua, the only two who would live to see the promised land. Perhaps their answers would be just the opposite. Instead of A, B, C, D, the epic fail, DCBA. Us? Oh, we're light. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." Caleb, if I might paraphrase, suggest his attitude, "You know what we are, or think we are, what we can do, or think we can do, what we decide is possible or impossible is not the issue here. We are light, but much heavier things are at work for us here. Our expected challenges, our obstacles, the hurdles in our way, those big people and fortified cities, yes, they are heavy indeed. They are significant, but we can overcome them. Why? How? Because other things are heavier. Take your eyes off the big foes and focus on what is bigger and heavier." Here are the words of Caleb and Joshua to the people. "And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone. Do not be afraid of them." Our anticipated rewards, the promised land, it is heavier. It is as advertised. It is as promised. "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us." Look at the rewards more than the obstacles. Rewards more. obstacles less. And don't forget what actually who is truly heavy here. Our God. The one who called our father Abraham and blessed him, who sent plagues upon Egypt and rescued us, who is guiding us now into the land he has promised to us, he is heaviest. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. It is the living God with them that Caleb and Joshua have in view. And his presence dwarfs the significance and power of all the other factors. Do you see that? Neither they themselves, nor any of their enemies, nor even the rewards promised are important compared to the will of God and the power of God and the glory of God. And so, their faithful obedience to him is what matters most, come what may. The quiz? These guys aced it. How about us? What do we see as the truly heavy things in our lives? What foes in our lives have us turning away in fear rather than moving forward in faith? What promised land is God asking us to enter with him while we waste time looking back toward our Egypts? What answers would you give on the promised land spy quiz? Now, before you fill in your answers, let me offer you a cheat. You know, all those, I understand, I actually have never done this because I don't cheat. Okay, I do. But all these, you know, computer games or PlayStation games or that kind of stuff, I understand if you buy the right magazines or go to the right websites or something, you can find cheats for this stuff, right? There's shortcuts and that kind of thing. They call them cheats, right? Well, we have a cheat. We have a cheat for this quiz. And it's one word in Hebrew. And the word is kavod. I mean, transliteration, capital K, capital A, capital V, capital O, capital D. Kavod. You want to say that with me? Kavod. There's your cheat. You want to know why it's a cheat? Because in Hebrew, this word means glory. When you speak of the glory of God, when you read about the glory of God in the Hebrew scriptures, the word you're reading is the word kavod. But you know what it means literally? Heavy. It's actually something apparently we rediscovered in the 60s. That's heavy, man. We had no idea how right the hippies were. It's a good word. It's a Hebrew word. If you want to speak of the glory of God, you use the word heavy. God is heavy, which is a way of saying God is glorious. Glorious above all, heavier than anything else. So there's your cheat on the quiz. Kavod. God is glorious. His heaviness is without equal. And I think finally it's worth asking ourselves, what about this quiz from God's eternal perspective? And if you want to fill this in God's way, I really believe it goes like this. 1, 2, 3, 4. D-B-A-C. Heaviest? Well, nothing compares with God and his glory. God's priority is rightly and always on his own eternal and incomparable glory. This is good news. God is God. He will not and cannot place his glory below anything else in his creation. And this includes us. If he did otherwise, he would not be God. Heavier? Ah, this is so good. Listen. The story of redemption, which is the Bible as a whole, the Word of God, tells us this. The good news of Jesus Christ, God the Son who came to seek and to save, and who shows us the height and depth of God's eternal glory as he dies on the cross for us, tells us this. God knows himself to be the heaviest, but next comes us. We are the heavier. Because we, God's people, are heavier in God's sight, the sinful faithlessness and disobedience of God's people, Israel, in the wilderness was no hindrance to his ongoing work of ultimate justice, mercy, and grace. Their failures were still important and still significant. They shouldn't have done it. But these failures were not ultimate. They would not prove to be heavier. Yahweh God was teaching his truth. He was revealing himself. And he was leading his people inexorably toward a higher and longer promised land than the one waiting to the north in Canaan. Because we, God's people, are heavier in God's sight, our sin, our consistent failures to live by God's commands, to do what is right, to march into his promised rewards with confidence, to give ourselves for his glory, our sin is only heavy. And God will make it light. Actually, non-existent in the end because of Jesus. For us who would not, could not give ourselves for his glory, God gave himself for his glory and for our salvation. Jesus died for us so we could share in his glory, the kavod of his Father forever. That's our promised land. That's our destiny through faith in Jesus Christ, the pioneer of our faith. So, our rewards? Well, they're merely heavy. Things like physical health and milk and honey blessings, and promised land fruitfulness, and long life on earth matter most because they are for us. And we matter to God. We are heavier with or without these things. And so, our challenges and difficulties, whatever they may be, are comparatively light. They're light no matter how they may look or feel to us in the moment. They may be part of God's will to discipline us, to remove from us harmful things or deadly faithless attitudes. They may show his willingness to take away something good so that he can give us something better. They are never expressions of God's indifference toward us. This was true for God's people at Kadesh, and it is true for us today. You know, the Apostle Paul understood these things profoundly from God's revelation and from his own life experience. And he encouraged others with words about things heavy and things light, like these from 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessing to us. Thank you for blessing us with your word. Thank you for leading us into the real and final, full, forever promised land. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would bless us now with greater confidence in you. Lord, not that we would behave better than your people in the wilderness, though that would probably be a good thing. But Lord, so that we would know what they apparently forgot. That you are the heaviest. You are the greatest. You are the biggest. Everything begins and ends in you. You are the source of everything good, of all that is. You are the creator. And you have made us in your image and for yourself. And your love for us is far greater than any of our abilities or inabilities. Any of our successes or failures. Lord, may we be able to rest in you, to know you, to affirm in our heart of hearts that you are heaviest, and then do our best in partnership with you to behave accordingly. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.